This is KVNF's regional newscast for Thursday, April 29th. I'm Gavin Dahl. With just a few weeks left in the school year, District 51 in Mesa County is dealing with another COVID-19 outbreak. Shaletti Elementary has been in virtual learning this week after 13 confirmed cases. Now Rocky Mountain Elementary reports 5 confirmed cases in a third grade class. That entire class is quarantined, the district told the Grand Junction Sentinel. The rest of Rocky Mountain Elementary remains on campus learning in person. The Pitkin County Board of Commissioners is accused of racial bias in their process to lease agricultural land on open space. 7 proposals were received, and a selection committee scored each application based on 5 criteria. The Aspen Daily News reports Jose Miranda, who owns Rocking TT Bar, questioned how the selection committee could have given his references a low score without calling any of them. The successful proposal from Marigold Livestock Company earned a 5 out of 5 scoring, the only proposal to receive a perfect score. Commissioners deny favoritism or racism. Lumber prices are up, driving increases in the average price of a new single-family home by $35,000. The Colorado Sun reports industry trade publications show lumber prices have increased 240% from a year ago. Reasons are that people stuck at home, began renovation projects, or, spurred by low interest rates, jumped into the housing market. Also related to the pandemic, the lumber supply chain was interrupted and a restart faltered initially. Plus, the industry lost labor as some people did not feel safe to return to work. State lawmakers have passed a bill letting cities and schools limit the amount of info they have to share with the public as they choose a new leader. Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
If Governor Polis signs it, governments would only have to name a single finalist for their top jobs, ranging from school superintendent to city manager. Supporters say applicants who are not selected need more privacy. But transparency advocates, including the Colorado Freedom of Information Coalition, are blasting the bill. They say it keeps the public out of the hiring process and limits scrutiny of candidates. Journalists and parents have sued some school boards in recent years when they do not publicly reveal who else they are considering for their top jobs. Courts have handed down mixed rulings on whether it is legal. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
The Colorado Broadcasters Association, which KVNF belongs to, lobbied against the bill. Black people in America continue to be killed at the hands of police. After the conviction of an ex-police officer for the murder of George Floyd, this has brought police reform efforts into sharper focus. In the second of 2 stories, Mountain West News Bureau's Robin Vincent reports on how a reckoning on racism and police brutality has reverberated through our region.
New Mexico resident Elaine Maestas says if you were in need, her sister Alicia Lucero was there to help.
Even if it was like the last of her money, the last $20, didn't matter if you were a friend, a family member, or somebody that she just met, she would help you out.
The sisters were close. Lucero was a loving aunt to Maestas' children and a caregiver for her father when he became ill. Lucero, though, was very different after she got in a car accident and doctors found she had a brain tumor. She underwent surgery and was receiving treatments, but was having panic attacks, seizures, and acting erratically. One night, Lucero's cousin called the cops after she hit her uncle in the head. Police responded and escalated the situation.
I remember my uncle calling me and he said, "Elaine, like, I need you to sit down." And I knew right when he said that, like, something was wrong with Alicia.
On July 22, 2019, Bernalillo County Sheriff's deputies shot Alicia Lucero 21 times. The police report paints a picture of chaos. Lucero, at 4 feet 11 inches, reportedly emerged from her trailer carrying a knife after officers repeatedly commanded her to come out. The report says police tased Lucero, but she kept going. Lucero's cousin, meanwhile, says he never saw the knife. Again, Maestas.
My sister's death was completely preventable. And the sad thing is that her life was taken by the men that were called to help her.
People in the Mountain West are killed by police at a rate more than 1.5 times the national average, with New Mexico at the top of the list. That's something Maestas points to often in her advocacy. She's become a vocal police reform proponent. But, she says, police in the state have been resistant to change. Here's New Mexico Police Union leader Sergeant Jose Carrasco pushing back against reforms introduced in the most recent legislative session.
If these bills pass the way you guys have them, there will be no law enforcement left.
Among Carrasco's concerns was the New Mexico Civil Rights Act. It did pass. The new law removes qualified immunity, a legal doctrine that protected police from civil lawsuits. New Mexico's Speaker of the House, Brian Egolf, was a co-sponsor. He says efforts to work with police on reform have largely failed because police refuse to recognize the problem.
You've got to call it out. You have to acknowledge the problem. But you also need to call out unfair criticism from law enforcement.
Egolf points to a Department of Justice investigation that found Albuquerque Police Department routinely used excessive force. But DOJ says at least one recommendation has, quote, fallen on deaf ears. Over in Nevada, State Senator Dallas Harris took a page from Colorado's reform playbook to write several measures. The black lawmaker points to policing's racist past to help explain its problematic present.
Police units in the United States were born of slave patrols. No more than 60 or so years ago, it was a police officer's job to pull me off of a lunch counter.
After George Floyd's murder, Nevada legislators banned chokeholds and required officers to intervene when another cop is using excessive force. Now Harris is sponsoring bills on data collection and qualified immunity, to name a few. She says Nevada's historic protests last year signal that
the citizens of Nevada are with me.
Across the region, activists have precipitated cultural shifts, and they say the battle has just begun. In Utah, where big protests transpired after Floyd's killing, Lex Paul of Black Lives Matter Utah says the state's recent legislative session left her disappointed, and now she's looking to launch ballot initiatives.
I don't want to be a negative Nelly over here, but there are just two things that we wanted.
Utah passed some reforms this session, and one in particular that policing experts extol, data collection. But Paul wanted independent oversight and the prompt release of body cam footage. Chris Burbank agrees that recent reforms don't go far enough. The former Salt Lake City chief of police is now with the Center for Policing Equity, and he wants fundamental change.
Why do we make traffic stops? Why do we arrest misdemeanors? These are the types of things that if you no longer engage in that behavior, you no longer have the bias.
Burbank says we've tried to make ending racism a hearts and minds issue to no avail. So instead, he says, we need to limit the activities police respond to, like Alicia Lucero's mental health crisis.
The criminal justice system has never solved the problem of drug or alcohol addiction or mental health or homelessness.
But, Burbank points out, those problems still tend to occupy the bulk of police attention all across the nation. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Robin Vincent.
That does it for Thursday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.